gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You're about to listen to Prophet Livingstone Olualola as he brings you the message of the gospel from the presence of God.
Holiness. You know, each time I think or meditate or talk about the holiness of God, I really don't know why I cry. Amen. So the message of holiness is not the message sent unto babes. Or is God a babe? So if I am Ketnof Sakata, if the one that is our God consistently remains holy, then it is required of us. Then I realized that scripture that says, "Be ye holy." I think 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, thereabouts. "Be ye holy as your Father in heaven. Be ye holy because I am holy." Hallelujah. That scripture, do you realize that it's a command? It's not that as much as it depends on you, you know, you can just try to be holy. No, it's a command. And when I began to think of the concept of holiness, I said, is holiness indeed what is imputed on us or what we have to work out? Amen. Are we together? Brother, I want to see your face. Amen. As much as we know that holiness is not whiteness, but the prophet in our midst were white. Amen. Hi. I saw you go away. Oh, come on, Pantili. Moroluwa. Ojoko Sibigiga. So I titled the message to Christian conduct. So as much as holiness can be a state of things, it can also be an action. Like your speaking being holy, your mannerism being holy. Hallelujah. So it's not just a state, you know, it's just holy. It's just holy and it's just there. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we together? So if you are asked, what is holiness? What would you say? Quickly, what is holiness? Okay, I'm walking to Brazil, but I will stay as I'm walking. I feel holiness is the attribute of God, of being without spot or wrinkle. Is an attribute of God that speaks of his purity, his perfection, his, what else do I say? Mama says no white, we're still clean, right? The ability of God of being without spot or wrinkle.
I would say holiness is an expression of the righteousness of God, like is the fruit of the righteousness of God. Like holiness is like an expression of righteousness of
God. Yeah, thank you so much, sir. Okay. It's like Brother is going for his introduction from the church.
Let me see it as we do it. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Alright, I believe holiness is the expression of the faultlessness of God. Mm. Faultlessness of God. The expression of the law of imperfection. Mm. So you can't point out a fault, or just like you were saying when you were talking the other time, when you were giving testimony, you said God is not wicked. There's no point where you can point figure that he's at fault or he has this particular.
God is good.
Yes, but there's that but is not there. It's always good. It's always good, and I believe, just like you said, it's not whiteness.
Yeah.
But it's the idea where it's a sacred place, it's a sacred nature.
Yeah.
That fault cannot be found.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you,
and
sir.
I think it's an expression of love.
Hallelujah. You know, few service back, I was just looking at the church. So Jerry was on the draw. First call you, Bro David. Bro James was on the keyboard. Bro Sam and Stephanie were backing up. And maybe it was Pastor Faith that was leading songs or Baba. Amen. And I'm saying that one manner of church where prophets are your backup and keyboardist, an evangelist is the drummer. Amen. And pastor is the lead singer. Praise God. So why am I saying that? I mean, I can just sit down. You guys continue the topic. This is the church of the mature. Amen. Yeah, that's one point. And I wrote here that holiness means sanctity and also a proper state. Like, this is how it should be and this is how it is. Amen. It also speaks of that perfection that Pastor Faith mentioned. All set. It also means the state of purity. And I realized that holiness also could mean purifier. That is why when you come to the Holy God, He purifies you. Why? Because we can look at God and say, "Hi, holiness, how are you?" Amen. So it's the holiness that purifies. It's the purity that purifies. Certain persons have purity, but they don't have the capacity to influence another without purity. Amen. But God can. The work of sinners can meet its purity and become pure. Amen. The works of sinner can make its purity and become pure. We are going to see some scriptures, and I want you to know that holiness is a calling and it's a command. Amen. As Christians, we are called to be holy. As believers, we are called and commanded to be holy. And that is why I titled the message, Holiness, the Christian Conduct. Amen. There is a way you conduct yourself when you know that you are holy. Amen. Imagine Bro James and Bro Sam with the way they are wearing this thing. And rain is falling, and you will see them as they be carrying their legs. The way I will just walk because I'm wearing black. And I will, when I finish, I will dust it. They cannot dust it that way. Amen. It cannot be dusted as though it didn't happen. So there is a way you conduct yourself when you know that I hear the holiness of God and I carry the new man inside me. There is a conduct to it. Amen. So I'm saying that this conduct does not even give you the excuses and permission that you can say, okay, this is my personality or this is who I am. It alters it. Even if brother will say, my personality, I walk fast. No, when you meet yourself in certain contexts, you realize that you don't walk fast. You have to walk properly. So it's not your personality that will be heightened at this point. But it's the properness that is demanded because of this thing that I carry called holiness. Yoruba has a particular adage that I say, Eponimoru. Kind of thing. If you don't understand Yoruba, Brother, do you know the... Don't disappoint me. Hallelujah. It means... I think it was from a particular Yoruba story that two persons were going on the way, and it was a narrow way. It was a narrow way, and the one coming and the one going, one was carrying oil, palm oil, and the other was carrying probably 2 bags of yam, kind of thing. I don't know what you're doing in Yoruba, God have mercy. So, as they were coming, one was like, no, shit for me. The other one was like, no, shit for me. You that will leave the road. It's me that will leave the road. You know, they started with this thing, and before you knew it, they began to fight. And while fighting, they poured their substance away. They finished their fight. And the one that is carrying yam picked a yam and continued the journey. But the one that carry oil cannot pick it. So it talks of the delicateness of what you carry. So now, is it that as Christians we don't have the liberty and rights to certain things? Yes, we do. That is why Paul will say that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Yes, it is lawful for me to fight for this right, but it is not expedient for me. It was lawful for her to fight a right. No, it's my road, it's my... Yes, no, you cannot. But it wasn't expedient. Why? Because of what she's carrying. Who is at loss? So when you know the content that is on your inside, when you know the kind of container that you are, you will know how that it is important for you to conduct yourself in a certain manner. Are we together? Amen. And holiness is not what we catch up with us when death has taken us away. That is why Paul said, and I groaning earnestly. Why am I groaning? That immortality may swallow up mortality. Why am I groaning? That the incorruptible will consume the corruptible. Endlessly groaning and desiring. Amen. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. Another person, 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. Quickly. Two persons. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. Another person, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. Are you there?
1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7.
Yes, ma'am.
For God has not called us unto uncleanness.
God has not called us unto uncleanness.
But unto holiness.
Now, do you realize that is a calling? So you realize that the scripture that says that come out from among them. What's that? It's a calling. When you talk about the calling of Abraham today, what do you talk about? You talk out that God called him out of his family. And you realize that as a calling. So calling is not just, okay, I'm calling you to come and be a prophet. Amen. So every believer in Christ is called. Amen. Let me sit in one place and listen gently so that you can hear what I'm saying. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Are we together? So holiness is a calling. He said, God has not called us unto uncleanness. Uncleanness is the thing we used to do. It's the things that we give ourselves to when we were in the world. But now, we have been called of God. And this calling is not continuation in impurity. It's a calling unto holiness, which is a state that God is. Which is the attribute that God is. Which is the nature that God carries. Amen. So, if holiness has become unto us, Pastor Daniel, are you with us? If holiness has become unto us our nature, There is nothing anybody on the outside can do that can alter your holiness. Amen. I'm saying there is no gravity of sin that will ever happen in the world that will make God to start doing some things that you now find fault in him, just like Pastor Brother said. Amen. So if it's something that you carry as a nature, that you wear, that has become who you are, there is nothing as it were that can alter it. So you don't say, yes, I became like this because he or she pushed me to be. No, you became like that because it is inherent in you. Amen. So the thing is, for instance, you can't carry an orange and you are squeezing it. You say, this orange, I mean you today. Today, I will squeeze your life and you must drink out apple juice. It cannot. Why? It is not in its nature. So, if you like, squeeze, press down, crush, what will come out is consistent, which is what? Orange juice. That is what and the manner of person we ought to be as believers. So, yes, she pushed me to the wall. He pushed me to the wall. I could no longer bear it. And a bitter is rising. A bitter is rising from your inside. Someone with dishonest and slanderous response is rising from your inside. Then we need to check the nature within. Hallelujah. Are we together? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, 16. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. In what? Can we say that together? In what? So it does not mean that when I get to church, I will be, you know, it's not working spiritually. I walk step is so spiritual. Oh, she's so holy. Wow, see how she honors her pastors. Oh, wow. She's really, no. He says all manner of conversation. So you're not carrying a character in church. And when you get to your workplace, you're another person. No. There is a consistency in your mannerism as Christians. There is consistency. Amen. You don't carry holy attributes when you come to church. But when you get to WhatsApp group with your family, that's when people will divide that your neighbor. Do you remember Yalagbaja? I'm saying be Christians even on your family WhatsApp group. Many of us are guilty of this. It's so easy because you find yourself among your siblings. Some of us, our siblings are not born again. And you don't want Holy Mary, Belel, praise God. So you want to flow. You want to belong. Some of us are holy until we find ourselves in the midst of friends, colleagues, and it feels like higher. Hi. Do you know what just played out in my mind right now? Certain persons are timid about holiness. They feel intimidated that they are holy. So they rather want to belong when they get in the midst of friends. Let it not be that my own is too much, sir. Really? So, you are now... The scripture says that blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of discomfort. You are not numbered among sinners. Your numbering among them is not until no contribution. You know, some weeks ago I was just saying to myself that it's so easy, compromising is so easy in this age and time. And you sitting in the seat of the scornful is also easy in this age and time. Ask me how. Eh? How was? Praise God. How is this easy? You realize that? I was saying to myself, I'm already answering the question. I was saying to myself, or having an internal conversation, that you may not do certain things, but certain things that you do, endorses it. I don't do it, but I endorse it. As simple as light. Yeah. Amen. And I was saying to myself, you need to learn how to begin to separate. I love you as a person, but there are certain things we do, I don't love you in it, but I love your being. Praise God. So I won't endorse certain things you do. So you don't flaunt lights all around. Oh, who posted this? Is it? Amen. Imagine a man of God you honor and began to speak down on certain doctrines of Christ or began to preach error, but you're like, this man of God, there was no message he preached that really touched me. Then you like that post. Amen. What you don't realize is that all the likes, the comments, is gathering algorithms for more spread. So the more it is being liked, the more it spreads. So what you are saying is, it can go. Let it go viral. So we should not come to the place of sentiment that we are so committed to a man that we no longer pay attention to what he dispenses. Amen. So it is in all manner of conversation, be holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16. For it is written, be ye for what? For I am. Are we together? Like some of you don't. Mama, when are you going to finish? Now let's go. Amen. If you don't respond quickly, we'll stay here till 8 p.m. And I will order boats for all of you. Praise God. Let's continue. I want to ask you a sincere question. Is holiness a hard thing? Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. I want to ask Pastor Faith now. Are you holy? Okay. But by character. Okay. Hallelujah. Brothers, is holiness a hard thing? Why? What is the reason for your answer?
Holiness in the flesh is hard. Like if you're trying to be holy by your action, is a strong thing. but walking in the spirit, will help you be holy.
I want to ask, have you? How do I ask this question? Are you holy, or you are trying to be holy and it's kind of hard on your flesh, or shema?
That is so.
Rajay.
This kind of question.
You have to ask me questions.
Now, the question now.
If you ask me, and answer yourself. So go ahead.
The holiness as a concept, just like they said. They said it's easy on the spirit, but flesh is difficult. You now ask, are you holy? Now, I think Peter said, he that is born of the Spirit is led by the Spirit. I think that kind of thing. I think Romans or something like that. That born of the Spirit is led by the Spirit. So the way you know the one that is born of the Spirit is the leading of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So a part of me would say holiness is easy if you can surrender your will, your thoughts, your emotions, everything to the leading of the Spirit. But the moment you are arguing with the leading of the Spirit, it becomes difficult to really express that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Pastor Dan, is holiness easy? Why is it? How is it? That means you are holy. You are holy. Wow. And I will tell you one fault that I found in you this morning. You are still holy with fault. Amen. So why do you say holiness is easy? Give me a few minutes. There is a scripture in New Testament. Through chapter 3 and verse 8. Can someone help me open that? Matthew 3, verse 8. Read the verse prior to that. That's verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit, meat, of repentance. Amen. Some translation says that bring forth, bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. Hallelujah. So I'm saying that as believers, okay, we've repented, we say we are holy, there are fruit that tells that we are holy. Amen. There are things that should be seen. So holiness is not just the inward thing, but it is the inward working that produces outward manifestation. So there should be outward attestation of what is inside. Amen. But the truth is, as believers, that which is built inside is perfect. But there is a conduct that we must carry ourselves as Christians. Why should we conduct ourselves in a certain way? It's because of what is on our inside. What we carry, which is the holiness of God. Amen. So the scripture says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the spirit of holiness. and another that scriptures also say that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus dwells in you, it shall also what? Quicken your mortal body. Now, can you see the correlation? The spirit that quickened Jesus, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is what the scripture called the spirit of holiness. So he's saying that if that spirit of holiness dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. That means it shall quicken your mortality unto immortality. It shall quicken the corruption in this mortal flesh into incorruption. Are we together? So as long as you know and you're sure that the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you, then ability has been given to you to be holy. But God will never outrule the will of man. Amen. He won't outrule the will of man. Okay, so let's see Romans chapter 6, verse 22, NIV. Okay, I'll read from here. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Amen. So what is the benefit of your separation from sin? Can we say it with confidence? Amen. And I would love to say that that is the holiness that God imputes. Amen. So I'm talking on two forms of holiness now. And so the one he imputed upon us, in us by God, and the one we work out. The scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But is it you that save yourself? Hallelujah. When you came to salvation, who saved you? So salvation was what? Was imputed by faith, by you believing. But there is another part that the scripture is saying, work out your salvation. So there is another part. Holiness has been imputed on you. But now we need to work out the holiness that is on our inside. Amen. And I've not even entered the conduct. God help us today. Okay, so it says the benefit you reap from your separation from you being separated from sin is holiness, and the result is eternal life. Praise God. And it's not to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I would love to show you a scripture that you most likely have never paid attention to, that speaks into this, and that speaks into the fact that holiness has been made easy. I think some people used to advertise something and say something made easy. Have you heard that phrase before? So now I'm telling, holiness made easy. Let's see Luke chapter 1. When I saw this scripture this morning, the baby in me leapt for joy. Luke chapter 1, from verse 67 to 75. I will read from there. Are we there? Are we together? Are you getting blessed? Is the word profiting you? Should we go home? Okay. If you want to go home, carry your bag. But don't come to church again. Amen. Luke chapter 1 from verse 67 says, his father, this is talking about John the Baptist. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and a prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Are you reading along? He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophet of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. And what is the oath? To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. Verse 75, my emphasis, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Amen. So Zechariah was prophesying, and he was talking about Jesus. You know, it was after the birth of his son John. He was talking about Jesus, because this son that he gave birth to was supposed to come and pass the way, lead the way for Jesus. Amen. So he was talking about it. He says, he has made the host to rescue us from our enemy and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. So I am saying that you being able to serve God, we being able to serve God in holiness and righteousness, has been made easy. This scripture is saying that the enablement has been given to us the moment Jesus was released. So he sent forth this on from the house of David. Why? To rescue us, and also so that we may serve him without fear in holiness all the days of our life. Can you see the possibility of living in holiness and righteousness all our days? This is Zechariah prophesying. But it is the word from God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit rested on him. Amen. So what Jesus came to accomplish on the earth or during his earthly sojourning is not just to take away our sins, but also to give us enablement. Enablement to walk rightly. Hallelujah. So if you believe the fact that your sin has been forgiven, then you have all the right to believe that holiness has been given to you, and that you can live a holy life. Amen. So the coming of Jesus has enabled us to serve the Lord without fear. The coming of Jesus has enabled us to serve the Lord in holiness and in righteousness. Not just for a moment. Not just for as long as, No, it says all the days of our life. Hallelujah. 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 So how can you work out your holiness? Amen. How can you work out holiness? Someone say work out. Say work out. I used to have a roommate in university. Although I'm not really someone giving to roommates, I had it just 1 year and I did not have it again. Praise God. Because I've always been a people person. So you rent apartment with me, I'll bring 3 or 4 more persons to join us. And you will not be comfortable. Amen. I wanted to make an example. I had a roommate. What happened to her? What happened to her? Yeah. Yes, work out. So she was asking me at some point that, hey, why, what do they use now? See your shape, see your this one. See, don't let shape deceive you. Some of us carry flat tummy until 6 p.m. Once we break the fast, it will be like 5 months pregnancy. Praise God. So you can see me this minute with a very flat tummy, and you can see me the next minute. It's something there. Yeah, something is there. Zapu. Praise God. So she was saying that. Anyway, what are you eating now? What are you? Tell me. I said nothing. Even I said that they talk, I know they do. You know, the belief of once you mind like this, pa, you just blow. Or once you different like this, pa, you just blow. Amen. Maybe my own blowing is still coming. I don't know. So I was like, nothing. She didn't believe me. I said, nothing. I'm serious. He said, I don't want to tell her secret. He said, some of us, we walk out, we do everything just by breathing air. You are getting fat. But for some of you, you will eat, consume everything, but we are not seeing it to your body. What is making me say this story? Working out. So it feels like he's working out the salvation of our body. But he's not working. Praise God. And this also speaks to the concept of what Jesus describes, that the Gentiles, the unbelievers, by reason of morality, do things that are required. Do you remember that scripture? You don't remember, you don't know the scripture I'm talking about. 13 does not know it. Amen. Gentiles who does not have the law, they do the things by nature that is required of the law. Amen. While the ones that have the law, they are not able to work out the law. Praise God. So some by working out, the thing is not working. And some without working out is just working. Is God not balanced? Very balanced. Praise God. Yeah, so working out, work out, work out, work out your holiness. Your holiness, work out. Higher. The day I read the scripture and it jumped at me, that scripture in the book of Timothy, I think, that says, train yourself unto godliness. Have you noticed that scripture? Can I have a response? I'm not sure. I'll go and sit down. Bro Joel, have you noticed the scripture? Not yet, right? Okay. Okay, let's see.
The Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, you Lord God. Are you
start verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. NIV says, have nothing to do with godless meat and old wives' tale. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Message translation says, stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Amen. You know, while I was preparing for the message, something came to my mind. And it's how that, in a way, we've Christianized certain impurities. Amen. We've made certain impurities look so religious, such that we now give ourselves the excuses. It's not a sin. We are not even seeing it as a sin. Amen. It says, stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. That's message translation. Exercise what? Daily in God. What translation? Very common. Praise God. It says, train yourself to what? To live a holy life. So it's a training. Like, I thought godliness, you should just catch up with it since you are already godly on the inside. No, train yourself every day. Every day. Today you are walking in greater light than you walked yesterday. Tomorrow you should increase in greater light. So we say the path of Jesus shineth brighter and brighter. It is not just that all good things are happening to you. It's that all goodness also is happening to your character and your soul. So we are saying, the path of this justice is shining brighter and brighter. Certain things higher. Certain things you can easily do, even as a Christian. You can't do them anymore. Amen. Like there must be that difference. I do not believe in anybody giving his or her life to Christ and there is no change or there is no alteration in attitude of what he used to be and what he is now. It's not just repentance, salvation, holiness. It is not just a change on the inside. It's a change that must be seen now on the outside. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Things are like before. I passed away since I lost the ball. I've gone to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life. For a Christian to be in a place and an unbeliever is saying to you, we cannot even see the difference between you and I. It's an insult. Then we should doubt what you have believed. A moral man, let people say, just a moral person. I'm saying, you know, unbelieving is unbelieving. Praise God. So irrespective of how moral someone is, I'm saying there can be unbelievers that are not given to lying. There can be unbelievers that are not given to immoralities. They are moral. Praise God. Have you not seen certain persons that you be like, Jesus? He says, you are so good. The only thing remaining is Jesus. Praise God. I am saying it is an insult for a Christian to be in same space or same with that person, and the character of that person is judging yours. We are supposed to live a life that judges the world. That is why certain persons from now to tomorrow, they will not like Christian. Why? The light in you is judging their darkness. You will see certain persons that don't want to come around a set of people that are very brainy. Why? Their brain is judging their ignorance. What they know is judging what they don't know. So they would rather, I think it's not too much. Amen. So what morality will not do? Now, you know, few days ago I was so bothered. And I had to enter a certain person's room. And I was just asking the question. I saw a picture of a dear friend of mine. And if you know me well, you know, say me and Imodet, we are not friends. And that is why one thing I'm learning now is don't impose your conviction. Let people learn. It is permissible. Praise God. And recently I sent a message across. I don't know if it was forwarded to Portal. I sent a message across as to manner of dressing in the present global mission. Right now, I am not to influence the dressing of your life, but the dressing of you in the church is my business. Praise God. Are we together? One led to you. I saw this picture of this, my friend. And, you know, went on how things were thought. Yes. Jump on something and the thing moves you. You had the courage. You posted it. And at a point, I was now seeing her standing side by side with a Muslim, with two Muslim sisters. They were wearing abaya from head to toe. And do you, that's not the painful part. Do you know the painful part? This, my friend, is a Muslim convert. A burden in my heart. I'm serious burden. Maybe if any other person had done it standing with Muslim, okay, we can just do the normal talk. But this is what I know she cannot do as a Muslim. I'm burdened. Do we have broader permissiveness in the Christian faith that allows for things that morality itself does not permit? That's why it pains me. Like, I'm trying to imagine the thoughts of those Muslim ladies beside. Like, if this is what Christianity is, I follow Allah. Because you left Islam to be dressed in this way as a Christian. Amen. Morality does not permit it, but Christians say it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We stand firm therein, and we do not allow ourselves to be burdened again by any yoke of slavery. Well done. But let me tell you, any freedom that you feel you have as a Christian that does not have restriction, check it, is slavery. There is boundary in freedom. There are boundaries in freedom. Amen. Yes, all things are lawful. All things are lawful. We have liberty. We have freedom. But you realize, even in countries, as much as you have freedom, even in your freedom, there is still boundaries. Amen. So you will hear there is freedom of speech, but one of you that goes on certain things. But maybe you have freedom of speech now. So as much as there is freedom of speech, there is also something called hate speech. So we have given you the liberty to speak. You can speak for your right, but no, there is a way you will not say it. And there are certain things you will know that it has not been given unto you to be said. Amen. Amen. But the focus of my holiness today is not dressing. No, it's not. It's not. It's just one of it among many. Amen. Where were we? Yes, train yourself to be godly. You've seen the scripture, right? So it's something you can exercise yourself in daily. Practical example. You got to work late. And you know how this your boss is a very mean person, and how that they say, and you're a Christian, you know that thing used to vex Christian very well, but now some Christians they vex too. You want to religiously blaspheme me, okay? Praise God, because I won't give you words to say. Some of us now, we they give people words to say. That is why there is a conduct to the Christian faith. There is a conduct to holiness. Amen. So you know that. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Yes, hallelujah. Yes, are you getting blessed? How was that? Yes, practical example. You know that if your boss is a mean boss, the eyes of everyone is on me in this workplace. And you know, I can't help it. I can't get the same one space. I just have to lie. And you call it smartness. You call it you protecting your Christian prestige. Amen. That's not protection. But tomorrow, you've advanced in life. And you say, whatever it is. Is it for this mundane thing? I'll be trivializing the journeying of my soul. Do you remember when we did the teaching on conscience? You remember? How many of us remember? Pastor Faith? Who else? Eh? I'm just remembering. Praise God. Was Brother James around then? I doubt. Was Pastor Dan around? In Zan Commercial. It was the call. It was not proper message. Praise God. But Sam should be around that time. Maybe. Yeah. And I was saying in that, I wish you can get it. That message. It really helped this particular topic. I was saying that at birth, at the new birth, conscience was given to you as a clean state. But your journey is the things you began to do with your conscience. We now determine if we have a darkened conscience or a pure conscience. Praise God. So the effect of each and everything we do is leaving a mark. Oh, you increase in light today. What you didn't do it. Yes, it increases the brightness of the conscience. It increases the purity of the conscience. Praise God. But whenever we find ourselves in state of compromising once and again, it leaves a dark spot. And that is why the same lie that somebody lies today, that the conscience freak, the person will lie tomorrow. The conscience, let the conscience freak like 90 degree yesterday. It only preached for 70 today. Why? The room has been given. So if that person continues, the conscience that was, I really feel bad about that. Before you know it, you get, once we get to a state that it becomes numb, that is what the Bible refers to the conscience being seared. They brought their conscience to numbness, to righteousness. So I'm saying that the training, exercise in godliness that you are doing has a direct effect in the working within. So I'm saying that The thing you are able to conquer today will give you the courage to conquer more tomorrow. Amen. Are you getting blessed? Holiness is not for babes. It's not for babes. It's not worth it. You know, now that you have given your life to Christ, just we need it. We need it. DDK will say normalize nonsense. We are seeing Christians beginning to normalize nonsense. So we need to bring back the message of holiness. Yes, you go to heaven, no, just believe in Jesus. It does not stop there. John said, if you have repented, then we need to see that you bear fruit worthy of repentance. So there are things we should see. Before we ask you of your salvation experience, we should be able to tell that you are saved. Amen. But the moment we begin to, when did you say you give that your life to Christ? Which of the ones did you give? Is it this one you are living or? Know that there is a problem. Praise God. Amen. Where were we before we move on to exercising? Okay, working out. Yes, working out holiness. Working out holiness. So it is something like the outworking of holiness. It is something you can intentionally do. And I said, I wrote here that you cannot work out holiness if it is not first imputed on you. Did you get that? So we talked about holiness that is imputed unto us by God, and the working out of your holiness, the externality of that which is on the inside. And I said, it will be difficult, it will not be possible for us to work out what is not worked in. So you can only work out what has been worked in. Amen. So the one that is worked in is God. Just leave him. Amen. So I made the example the last time. It says, work out your salvation. But for you to work out your salvation, you've got to be saved. I can't go to an unbeliever, work out your salvation. No. Praise God. Starting to walk around. Thank you. Amen. Virgin Zekwele. Amen. Amen. Konesume konereme. That's it. Just speak that tongue. Your spirit understands. Konesume konereme. Even Joe bow his head. It means I will not be tired. I will not faint. Aha. Hallelujah. Yeah, so working out your holiness. How do you work out your holiness? Or first, let me just talk briefly on how God works his holiness on our inside. Apart from it being, I want to say slammed on you at salvation. But apart from it being auto-generated at salvation, There are things that God puts all around to prune us unto holiness, to save our soul from corruption. Amen. So that is what we call the suffering of Christ and for Christ. Amen. The place of coming apart from your flesh and coming in union with Him. Praise God. As much as possible, I don't want to talk about marriage. But in marriage, there is such thing as separate to unite. So you cannot successfully be united with your partner if there is no separation from extended family. Amen. There will always be problems if you want to be here and there. So many of us we want to undo the two extremes in perfect balance, but it will never be balanced. It will never be balanced. Amen. Let's quickly see Hebrews chapter 12. to not forget, it will not be possible for us to work out holiness if it has not first been imputed on us. The Bible says we love him because what? He first loved us. So he called us to be holy because what? He has first made us holy. He called us to work out our salvation because what? He has first given us salvation. It is by faith that we have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the will of God. Not by works, so that no man can boast. That is salvation. Amen. But yet the Bible recorded such thing as working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Are we there? Hebrews 12, verse 10. I need no argument. I need no appeal. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. So there is no other argument as to why you only. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died. No other argument, you need no other argument. That Jesus died and that he died for. No other argument. I need no other plea. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. I would love to read NIV. It says, let me begin from verse 7. It says, endure hardship as discipline. Amen. Amen. Endure hardship as discipline. Hi. God is treating you as his children. What children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. Amen. The moment someone comes to that point that me, from now, I have stopped correcting you, is not a good thing. Because one of the words for discipline is actually tutelage. So when you say discipline, no, it's not SK. It's teaching. Amen. This may not be perfect, but when you ask somebody, what is your discipline? And they tell you zoology. That means, what are you being taught? Praise God. Okay, so, verse 9. Moreover, we have had Moreover, we have all had husbandman or human father who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God, you know, some of our parents, they will be guilty of certain disciplines that they disciplined us. If we carry them to God. Praise God. Amen. Are we together? Brothers, well done. God is your strength. Olorun laja. Amen. Where are we? Okay. 10. They disciplined us for a while as they thought it best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may fear in his holiness. So as much as holiness has been imputed on us, there are disciplines that will come unto us. Prunings that will come unto us. Why? That it may make us partaker of God's holiness. Partaker of God's holiness. The Bible says that we may be partaker of his divine nature. Amen. So there are corrections. No, you don't do this. And you don't feel like you're alone. You're going to come. This God said you own too much. No. If you want to, it feels like you come around me and you desire to partake in what I have. Let's say I am selling a mental skill. I am selling a mental asset. Like, you want to come and learn. You've got to yield. If you want to partake in that which I know, if you want to partake in that which I am, you've got to yield yourself to corrections that I bring. Are we together? So with God. If you want to partake in the holiness of God, there is a discipline to it. So everything did not just end, Lord, we've given our life to Christ. The important thing is that you believe in Jesus. Once you about to believe, that's all. Amen. No. It says that we endure hardship as discipline. Endure hardship as discipline. That we may be partaker of his holiness, in order that we may share in his holiness. Amen. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but yeah, we know that and all that. Praise God. Okay, so that talks about the holiness of God being imputed on us, and what you have to do to come into his holiness also. So God will once and again bring certain things so that you may increase in life. You see, it's not all Christians that are the same. All of us are not the same. Why? The degree of journeys and discipline certain persons have gone through, God takes them so personal and precious. Amen. They are so precious to God. We are so precious to God. Amen. Why am I feeling like I'm not? Are you past? We are so precious. Okay, you have joined us. You have joined us. Amen. Yeah. Have you seen, even in human relationships, mommy talking with these children, you see that there is a way a child that is consistently yielding to correction will be carried. Why? The person is, because correction is bringing adjustment to a nature that you carry that should not be there, but that you should bear this particular nature. That is what correction is about. So there are things I'm seeing. No, it is not of this nature. So there are things God will see. He is not of this nature. So correction, tutelage is coming. Discipline is coming. Why? That you may be partaker of this nature. Amen. That's why in marriage they will say that couples that stay together, like there is that, it feels like as the year goes by, there are lesser things to argue about. Well, they have become partaker of one another. They have become partaker, and it's not time that does this. Mm-mm. It is yieldedness to discipline that achieves it. That is why you will still realize that couples can go for as long as 50 years and they are not as secure partakers of one another. So it's not that we are counting years that matter, but the yieldedness of the individual to God, to the discipline that God is bringing. You are yielding to God, I am yielding to God. And we are coming. We are becoming partakers of one another, partakers of His nature. Hallelujah. Are we together? Holiness. Say holiness. Holiness. Okay, the second part, the B part of walk it out. Tell your neighbor, walk it out. Amen. The next one, let's see Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Are we there? Yeah, please. Let's read from twenty-four, or let's do 23. From 23 to 28. Yeah, let's stop there for now. Okay, my emphasis here, I said putting on the new man. My emphasis here is that verse 23. It says to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Verse 22 says that you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, is this one God's responsibility to us? Whose responsibility? Hallelujah. So we have put on Christ. The Bible says, but you have been clothed with Christ. You have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. Put on the new self. Put on the new self. Stop staying in the valley of excuses of this is who I am. Now myself did this so. If you know, if you take me as a day so, they go. Amen. Then I will ask, are you a Christian? Stop looking for people to accept you the way you are. It is someone that is not growing that have that mindset. And indeed, people may accept you the way you are, but they won't keep you long enough the way you are. So even the scripture talks about as to God dealing with us in hope. So when we came to salvation, we were not all perfect as human, but there is that hope of journey. There is that hope of increasing in life. Amen. So you see certain persons, they'll be like, I thought you really accepted me. I thought she really accepted my presence. I say it was faith all from the beginning. I always knew it. I always knew it. That's why I don't trust in people. That's why I don't trust in people a lot. Because they come and they don't stay. No. We may come in hope that you grow. But if you are not growing, they will keep coming and not stay. Amen. Amen. Put on the new self. The new self. The new self. New personality. Enough of this is who I am. Enough of this is my personality. Ah, no, this one is my temperament, too. If you cannot deal with it, he that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have what? Passed away. So you have given your life to Christ, but you are still using your temperament as our excuse. Did everything not born again? Your temperament, your personality. Amen. So put on the new man. 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 That is how to what? To work out your holiness. So in putting on the new man, you will realize how that the scripture went on and on. This is how you put on the new man. Like, let's bring it down. Let he that still no more. Amen. Bless you. I've met people in my life. So I think a guy once told me that Yahweh is not any coming this thing. It's just you taking what belongs to you that is in another man's hand. And God forbid that they will not use the scripture. You will sow where you did not reap. Amen. Let he that steal no more. There is no justification to remain in old behavior and old attitude and in the attitude of Gentiles. Gentiles, now I mean unbelievers. There is no justification to it. Amen. What salvation came to do for us is not renovation of who we used to be. It's newness entirely. So salvation did not come to renovate, you know, let's just adjust this aspect of your character. Newness. Newness. But it's like many people are renovated. Newness. And that newness talks about something that have never existed. So if that old character have existed before, I'm saying submit it. He that is in Christ is a new creator. A new creation. Amen. The C part. By your yieldedness. You can work out your holiness by your yieldedness. Like you mentioned earlier, yieldedness to the discipline that is being brought that increases you in light. Amen. So God came to you. You know the way you spoke, the way you responded is actually not, the response you gave was not an honest response. See, don't play smart, because smartness is not holiness. Many of us have learned how to. Can I tell you something? When you are not telling the whole truth, you are not honest. And dishonesty is a sin. And I said the truth now. But did you say the whole truth? Did you say it? Don't Christianize it. It comes to basic things. Basic things. And the truth of the matter is, indeed, the people you are speaking with may not even know that that is not the absolute. Amen. But never forget, oh, that the fear of God will come upon us again. Never forget what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They sold the land. Yes, that's the truth. But they didn't speak the whole truth. I'm saying, what will it take them to say, ah, we sold it at this price, but we have taken this portion to sustain our own family. Amen. So, if you begin to, as you are giving that response, there is that prick of the Holy Ghost. No, that's not true. Yes, he said the truth, but that's not the whole truth. Repent at that instant. That is yieldedness. And repentance sometimes is not just repenting towards God. You've got to repent towards God. And hello, sir. I'm so sorry. Actually, the whole thing is this. Oh, okay. No problem. You have increased in light with that action. Amen. What's the essence of this teaching? That as Christians, we will not be comfortable with the things that we ought not to be comfortable with. We are getting sensual. And you will realize that you are already in sensuality. When things that used to irritate you because of your faith is now admirable to you, suddenly it feels like there is no big deal there. We are getting sensual. Yes, we began the journey in the spirit, but Paul said, oh foolish Galatians, how can you begin a journey in the spirit and you want to finish it in the flesh? Amen. Amen. Sexual immorality is not a message that, you know, no, you are coming to that. Some Christians are deaf. Praise God. And sexual immorality is, Jesus said, as long as you can think it in your heart. Has it not raised the bar of holiness? Does that not raise the bar for us? As long as you think of it in your heart. So people don't even, they no longer stop thinking of it. They think of it and they enjoy it. They think of it and think of it so well, they will even dream of it. Then you will now say, you will now hear them say, actually, I saw in a vision that. How holy is your life? Is your heart? The holiness of your heart determines the holiness of revelation that comes to you. Because revelation will come to you at the level or the stage that your heart is. And then you will hear God. If I say, I may give a particular instruction now, but the truth of the matter is, you all will hear me differently. Why? Because of the stage. Certain things that we say that Pastor Faith does, like, ah, mama. And that person says, how will she talk to me like that? Why? The heart. Praise God. Let's not be sensual. Let's not get sensual. Let us not descend to the realm of the flesh. I was writing which day on my status how that there is such thing that is called emotional adultery, emotional fornication. But we are not doing anything now. But you are emotionally entangled. Yes, God has said it's not the one. So I'm just facing front. You are facing front but looking back. Is the person not confused? Like, you want to do the two at the same time. Amen. these things need to be said again. Don't bring down the bar. Don't bring down the bar. Don't shift the ancient landmark. It will remain consistent. Forever, oh God, your word is settled in heaven. His word is stable. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. There is this song of the house that is coming to me, but it's not so clear. I pray any of us similar. Be holy. Please sing it. Be holy, for I am holy. Yes. Be righteous, for I am righteous. For I am blameless. So great. So we are going to sing that song after this scripture. So pray. Romans chapter 6, are we there? Can please read. Yes, please. Amen. That's you write to verse, thank you, right? Okay, praise God. NIV says that I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitation. You see, Ba, certain truth of God's word may be preached to us at certain level or in a particular degree because of the limitation of human, but it does not mean that that is the height of it. Do you understand me? It does not mean that that is the height of it. And it is not expected of us to bring down the bar. Amen. So it says, because of your human limitation, just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. You know, Brodins was defining holiness as the evidence of righteousness. Praise God. As the evidence of righteousness. Evidence of righteousness. Evidence of righteousness. So now offer yourself. I am saying to us that, you know, we didn't have to do anything when we were in the world to lie. We didn't have to. Right now, I don't have to. This morning, I was just thinking that who even taught Betty how to squeeze face? Because now she's squeezing face for me anyhow. When she's not comfortable, amen. Now that is not taught. It's a nature. Amen. So also, now that we have given our life to Christ, certain things should become our nature. And it should become as easy. The same way this other one was easy for us. I don't have to sit down that when you are uncomfortable, just squeeze face. When you don't want anybody to cry, you just say, nyan. No. She does it. Amen. Praise God. So even now that we are in Him, He said, now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness. the righteousness that leads to holiness. Offer yourself a slave. So now it will demand conscious submission. Do you know what that tells me? Adamic nature came with its ability. So also your nature in Christ came with his own ability too. But you must choose to yield to that ability. Amen. You must choose to yield to that ability. No, really, I really desire the days and times when we will call the word, we will say that word Christian, and we talk of sacredness. We will say Christian, and it is the same thing that they called Christian in those days. Amen. They said they were called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because they have been with Christ. But so many are called Christians today, they don't even know the Christ. I long for that day that the honor of Christianity will return. And someone rubbish video that just popped up. And some persons were just saying, I won't say it with my mouth. And somebody was saying, all Nigerian pastors are this. No, the truth of the matter is, it is because some that were called pastors were truly that. But oh, that the day we return, that the day we come, that the fear of God will be upon all that nameth the name of Christ. The Bible says, let those that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, that the day will come. That the day will come. That those that are numbered with us will not be apart from us. The scripture records that they left us because they were initially not part of us. But that the day of separation will come. The Lord knoweth those who are his. He knoweth those who are his. And don't be numbered with those that will make the name of the Lord be blasphemed among unbelievers. Don't be numbered with them. It doesn't have to be when you get to certain obvious positions. But when your workings, daily workings, are not even right to your neighbors. When they begin to say to you, and she says she's a Christian, weep. Especially if they are correct. If you are guilty, as charged. Amen. Those that nameth the name of Christ. It is a costly thing. You don't understand. It is a great thing to bear this name. It is a great thing to represent this name. And it is a great thing to say that you are put on Christ. It places a demand on you. It places a demand on us. Amen. That is what is permissible for all. It's not permissible for us. Because we are to be the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. But how can you even be the light of the world when you are not even the light in your room? You are not even a light in your home. You are not a light in your neighborhood. Amen. It's a call unto holiness. It's a call that the standard be raised again. The standards that we have lowered. Christianity is not conformity to the world. Christianity is not conformity. Amen. Christianity is not the upgraded or the righteous version of the world. It's a different thing entirely. Amen. Can we rise on our feet and we pray?